That's the state of our society, and worse, because that's what you can see. That's what you can see. You scratch a sore and there's a whole lot worse underneath. And God, you got to come back. This is not sustainable. Let alone, of course, as Larry will like this one and can speak to it better than I, the replacement of humanity with artificial intelligence. Apparently artificial intelligence just hacked itself, which is disturbing, very deeply disturbing. Anyway, human relations are a disaster. The divorce rate is off the chart. I haven't heard the latest numbers, but it was, you know, it stepped off a cliff not too long ago and it was just plummeting. You know, to be married a long time is a rarity anymore. And it speaks to the love growing cold, for whatever reason it is. How are things going in the church? I speak of our church, but broadly in the church as well. Now, 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly." In other words, there's no ambiguity here. "Expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils." Has that happened? Yeah, you know, a lot of people like, oh, yeah, you know, I heard they had a, you know, Harry Potter's all about Satan worship and witchcraft. No matter, I don't know how you can avoid that conclusion if you see it. And yet, there are many churches, they're like, yeah, that's what we're gonna have a movie night. You know, we're doing a trilogy. And you gotta go, what? What concord has light and darkness? So you think of those extremes, but I want to talk to you about something less extreme and a little more palatable and a lot more popular in the churches, and that is that some shall depart from the faith. Now, what is faith? Who's going to depart from it? You see, faith is a confidence in Christ and in His promises, and in His life and in His ability. And we are saved by grace through the vehicle of faith, which is the palsied hand of man reaching out and laying hold of Christ. And that isn't from us. It's a gift from God. It says many are going to quit trusting God. And popular religion, you hear a lot about God, but you don't hear a lot about trusting Jesus. You hear a lot about us and our praise and our worship and our experience, but you don't hear a whole lot about dependence upon Christ, about the helplessness of the soul, about becoming a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. There are doctrines of devils out there that are masquerading as Christian doctrines, but have their origins in Greek and pagan philosophy. Self-determination. Salvation by faith and works. However you want to put it, the church is not, and I'm talking broadly here, God forbid that we're in that category, God keep us from being in this category, they're not looking to Christ for salvation. Not only that, but the general broad focus of the churches of this world are focused on a kingdom where? Here. We got to save this world. We got to save this nation. And all the time, Revelation and Daniel and Christ are saying, hey, this thing's going to burn. There's no saving this. I'm going to destroy it and replace it with a new heavens and a new earth. But the hope of most Christians is not in that promise, but in we're going to fix it. And so with the best of intentions, they are speaking with the voice of the dragon when they try to talk about forcing people to be moral. There is a lot of chatter, if you have been watching, in our world, in religious political circles, that says we have to enforce morality for Christ. Now, we all know where that leads. The Dark Ages stand as a testimony to that failure and that disaster, which brings us to another thing. How's the Sunday Sabbath issue coming along? the exaltation of Sunday and the denigration of the Jewish Sabbath. It says in Matthew 24:15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Now that is a reference to the siege of Jerusalem. Outside the city was there was hallowed ground around the city, and when the Roman standard was set up into that, in that hallowed ground, that's when it was time for God's people to flee. Well, there's another standard in this world. And it's interesting, when you read the history of the exaltation of the false Sabbath, the Sabbath that mankind put in place, versus the true Sabbath, you find some fascinating tactics. And these are tactics that are being used today. First of all, you find the guilt by association tactic. I mean, not first of all, before that. The exaltation of Sunday is a great day. That's what happened, you know, back when Constantine became a Christian. And all of a sudden, Sunday was still, you know, still a good day. It's a good day. You should rest on that day. Nobody's talking about going to church or anything. We just, you know, we need a day of rest. Well, there's huge movements in our world right now to have a day for the family. Got to have a family. Sounds good. I'm all for it. Anybody else? Yeah. Yes, that's how it starts, though. That's how it started with Constantine. Sunday's great. You get songs, you know. Fun day Sunday for the kids, you know. Manic Monday, you know, for us adults. Anybody remember that song from the 80s? Just another Manic Monday. Wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day. I gotta have to run day, yeah. Sounds a little silly, but comes into the mind. You know, they've even got grass products for your lawn. Sunday. It'd be the best thing for your lawn. Weird stuff like that. Gradually, but now it's escalating, because now we have a war in the Middle East. And whether you think it's okay or not, there is a growing hatred among the people of this world for Judaism because of what's going on. Whether it's deserved or not, I'm not going to sit in judgment on. But they did a poll. The most hated nation in this world right now is the Zionistic government of Israel. That's the poll. I didn't take it. I didn't say it. That's what they say. Now, you know what's interesting that happened when the Sabbath was changed to Sunday? Is that Jerusalem had been a bit of a thorn in the backside of the Romans for a while. Even after its destruction by Titus. And they had to go in there again and again and again. And finally, it caused so much trouble. It was always causing wars and upheavals in the Roman Empire. So finally they went in, they annihilated Jerusalem for the last time, or at least in antiquity. And the Roman emperors made a law. And that law was that no one was to Judaize. In other words, you were not to have anything to do with the Jews or their religion. And that is when the Christian church went, grasped their pearls, and said, if we keep the Sabbath, if we continue to honor the Sabbath, they're going to think that we're Jews. So I know what we'll do. We got this here Sunday fun day. Why don't we just slip over here? And that's what happened. To avoid persecution. And it's interesting because Ellen White said that the same tactics that were used to exalt Sunday in the first place would be used again to bring in the false Sabbath. And I don't know, but if one country, and by extension, unfortunately, people not being very discriminating by its religion, are denigrated and hated, the religion that nation represents is also hated. And so you have that condition going on in the church. The steps necessary have and are being taken rapidly. Anybody remember, just cast your mind back 10 years ago. Can you do that for me? Just try it. 10 years ago. Cast her back there. You back there? What was life like then? Was it like this? Was the world insane? maybe it was starting to go there, but it's not been very long since things were normal. And all of this shouts one thing, and what is that? That this time, for reals, Jesus is about to come back. For real. Not for yes, sometime. You know, it's interesting that Jesus talked about this. He said, you know, as it was in days of Noah before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, getting given in marriage. You know, they're carrying on with their lives. Right up until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What happened on that day, by the way? Thump. And was there now any way of salvation? No. Only 8 people. He says, that's just the way the Son of Man is going, when his come back again, is going to be. He says, it's going to be like a thief coming in the nighttime. What is that like? Anybody ever been robbed? I was. I had my cube van up in Canada. A drug addict was going down the street. And I woke up in the morning and that cube van had been gone through and over. Smashed the ignition, trying to steal it, this and that. I didn't know a thing about it because I was sleeping. I was just sleeping. You know, all the conditions that I've been talking about are converging. All these conditions that are happening now, which we see, should show us that summer is nigh. And that's a good thing, because the prayer of Christ, you know, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. But it's also a solemn thing, isn't it? It's a very solemn thing. A lot of people, when they hear this about the second coming of Christ, it scares them, but that's not my point today. It is going to be a beautiful thing when his will is done on earth as it is in heaven, because his will is love and perfect. A perfect world in which dwells righteousness. Lastly, how are things going between you and the living God? That's the inevitable question that must come up. It is, as far as my life or your life individually, the most important question. How are they between you and the living God? A lot of people have religion. A lot of people have faith. Just see James, the book of James. It says in Romans 13, 11, 12, and 14, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And a lot of people are, I'm suiting up. This is a popular, the armor of God is real popular in prison. I don't know exactly why. I got my ideas, because it's a rough place to live and armors would be a good thing. They're all going to, you know, fight. But when it says here, put on the armor of light, it goes on and it says, but put ye on who? The Lord Jesus Christ. What does the word Christ mean? Yeah, the Savior. Put ye on. Who is it that's to protect God's people now and in whatever is coming? What's armor for, if not for protection? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the story of the 10 virgins, you guys know the story. We're running a little bit late, but I want to run through it a little bit. You know it. As there are 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You kind of know the story. It says they went out to meet the bridegroom, and the bridegroom didn't come right away. And so they all slumbered and slept. It didn't say most of them. It said how many of them? All of them. That would include me then. Yeah? And you. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, is it getting kind of dark in this world? I'd say it is. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. It's shades of Revelation 18 there. And they that were ready went in with him, and we just talked about Noah, went into the marriage, and the door was what? Was shut. You know, A lot of us have a connection with God. But the question has to be asked, do I? Is it a living connection? It's one thing to have head knowledge, right? The Pharisees had that. They knew the Torah, right? At least they knew what it said without knowing what it said, right? The question you have to ask God, because I will tell you this, you're not capable of answering this question honestly. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but God looks at the heart, each one of us. And that's what the closing song we're gonna sing about. You know, we were talking a little bit about holiness down in Sabbath school, weren't we? You know what's interesting about holiness in our day and age? We've reduced holiness to decency. One of the good, a good old boy, nice person. But what is real holiness? The holiness that exists in heaven. Absolute, perfect love all the time, spontaneously from the heart. I don't think we realize what real holiness looks like. I'm sure I don't. It is a standard that has been lowered and lowered and lowered and lowered until it almost within reach, when in fact it is completely out of reach. There's only one Savior in this world. You have to ask yourself the question, Lord, am I really your son? Am I really your daughter? Does your life live in me? A lot of people are trying to manufacture that. I've tried to manufacture it. I still catch myself trying to manufacture that. You know, we have some fascinating people I met a little while ago, and praying for them and trying to teach a little bit. They have the idea that by the things that they do, by the things that they say, or their attitudes that they express, that they can somehow bring themselves into holiness. Maybe, there's people, but we all do it, I think, a little bit in different subtle ways. It's always kind of sneaking in there. It takes God to disabuse us of this idea. But the kind of holiness that we must have is not a righteousness that's according to the law. It must be a righteousness that is outside of us. Because you and I, the Bible declares, have no righteousness. Though accepted by Christ, though covered with the justifying blood of Jesus, the Bible still declares there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. The question for you and I is, do I depend upon his righteousness or mine? Or maybe I depend on his righteousness and mine. I'm sorry, that all goes in that camp too, you know, right? That's a solemn question. That's a solemn question. And I think next week, I don't promise, but I want to talk about grace. You know, cheap grace, no grace, grace. We might want to talk about that and how it relates to faith, but we'll see. I'll see what God says over the week. But back to the solemnity of the position we find ourselves in time. Jesus Christ, you think about this, just in a real way, he's him, the one crucified on a cross almost 2,000 years ago. He's out there. He's about to come here. For real. Like, Lord, give me the ability to grasp the reality of it. Because we've heard it for so long. And sometimes it just kind of becomes a thing, you know? But it is going to be real. East. That sky is going to blow apart one of these days, very soon. And the real, living, actual Son of God is going to appear to put an end to sin, to war, to suffering, to anxiety, to worry, to fear, to everything that violates love, for real. And every one of us, I want to ask the question, Lord, am I really your child? And if I'm not, make me one. Because I don't know, when I ask him that question, I'm like, I think so, but I want to be sure it's okay, Lord. You got to make me your child. And that needs to happen not just once. Every single day, every moment of every day. Only he can give us life. But Jesus is coming again. The signs all point to it. And yet the church of Christ, like the 10 virgins, is sleeping. We are the seventh church. Rah, rah for us. Not rah, rah for us. We think we're fine. You know, the church of Laodicea, right? We think everything's cool. We're rich. We're increased with goods. We don't need anything. And we have no clue that we're poor and miserable and blind and naked. Not because I said so, but because God says so. Then the question becomes, Lord, what are you going to do about it? I need you like I've never needed you before. You need him like you've never needed him before. And the world needs you to need him like it's never needed it before. Does that make sense? Because there's a lot of people out there that don't know. They look around and they're just completely bewildered. What in the world happened? Humanity's gone corporately insane. And they need to know about the Savior who's coming. They need hope. Young people today, they look at the future and they go, what's the point? What's the point? Old people look at the future and go, what's the point? But they need to know. And the only way that they can effectively be told is if Christ lives in you and me. And his love for them lives in you and me. So that the love will compel us to say, hey, there's hope. Hey, look out, things are going down. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about him. Father in heaven, I pray that you will be upon each heart here, that your life will be in us, that as we look to the imminent return of your Son, that each and every one of us will be an instrument of grace to those around us, that we will be found in you, not with our own righteousness, but with yours. May we be found as real children of God. May we have your life in us and to be heirs according to your promises in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.